Hey, what's up? This is your homegirl, Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self Love is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start the show, so please tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, what's going on?
Yo, what's the deal?
Nothing much. About to get the guest on. You ready to start the show?
Let's do it.
All right. Yo, Reason, what's going on?
How you doing? How you guys doing today?
Good.
Oh, yeah,
how about you?
I'm great. I can't complain.
That's good. That's good. Okay. Well, DC, what was the vibe of the week?
Oh, man, the change of the weather. I tell you, when a nigga has, when he's allergic to everything up under the sun, and that was up. I swear I've been sneezing up a storm, been having back spasms. I swear to God, like the universe do not hold you up when they start to expose your age. Because, like, I've been waking up, my bones been aching. Like, my ankles ain't never been sore after waking up. But I swear to God, you would have thought I fucking ran a 100-yard dash before I went to bed or some shit. Like, it's been crazy. But other than that, you know what I'm saying, life is good. I can't complain. You know, I got some situations that I'm, you know, working on in my personal life that, you know, I'm finally seeing some light of, you know what I'm saying? So despite the allergies, despite the change of the weather, you know what I'm saying, despite the 80-year-old ankles, you know what I'm saying, I'm happy.
Can I ask you a question real quick, brother?
Yeah, what's up?
What was the best part of your week for you that you can say, like, the best part of it?
The best part of it was getting some good news about something that I've been pretty much struggling with for the last, what was it, complex, about like 4 years or so now? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a blessing.
Been having,
yeah. That's a blessing.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Yeah, like I said, it's been a long 4 years. It's been a long 4 years, but, you know, some light is finally shedding upon it is bright too, bright as hell. So, you know what I'm saying? Like I said,
up.
I can't complain.
Yeah, that's definitely what's up. Okay. Well, on last week's episode, we had Francis in the building, and we talked about to love what they hate about me. And the best takeaway from that is that Francis said, you know, you have to love that you are different. And the fact that we come in so many different shades is such a beautiful thing. And, you know, it's time for us to, instead of us shaming our beautiful skin and teaching our kids to fear their skin and hate their skin, let's teach them to embrace it. Was there anything that you wanted to piggyback on and say about that episode, Reason?
Just for myself, I can connect to the whole experience of like that, because me, I grew up down North Philly, and I went to Catholic school growing up into seventh grade. So not only that, like, majority of the kid, well, every kid besides us and a couple others went to Catholic school, and everybody else went to public school. So it starts there when you get back to your neighborhood. And then I was the only redhead, light-skinned, freckle-faced in my family. So it's like I had to adapt to that too growing up. So it's like I always had to think, like, I have to always be comfortable with who I am because of the way I look in general. And then a bonus is because I'm black, like, you already know that's already a threat. So,
for sure.
Like, yeah. I always been mindful of that.
Thank you for sharing that. Man, I can imagine.
You.
Like, no problem. Okay. Well, let's get right into the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic, because you kind of hinted on it. So the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic tonight is, can your environment make or break you? And the reason for this topic, me and DC was talking like we always do, and, you know, I was just basically telling him, growing up, I grew up in Detroit, and then I lived in the suburbs as well, and, you know, the kids in Southfield Public Schools, I'm from Michigan, I just moved to Pennsylvania 3 years ago, but the kids in, you know, Southfield, Michigan, they were very privileged, and they used to question, why don't you have the same things that we have? And then I started, and I would get teased and stuff. So my first question to you, Reason, is what was your environment like growing up around you?
I could say from a household standpoint, a single mother who was independent, I'm the youngest of three.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I had two others in front of me that I learned my rights and my wrongs from. And then, like, the outside neighborhood, it shaped me in a way to understand that I was, like, who I was at an early age, so I don't ever forget, of, like, about that on a day-to-day basis, because I'll never get too proud of the idea that I'm bigger than somebody else, because we all come from, like, a low point in our lives. So my environment itself, I can say as a whole, though, you know, it's 50-50. With the good and the bads, but like the love in my family and the love that I had from friendships, it shaped my morals into tech. So, and like in a positive way, to it showed me how to be a better father, just because mine wasn't in my household. But my dad, we seen my dad from time to time, but he wasn't like a big figure in my life. So, having an older brother that did, you know, things within the streets and stuff like that, I learned not to do the same thing, but at the same time understand his experience, because we are in the same place, and you understand that people do things that they feel like they have to do. So I took that as a positive and a negative, just to like, if I wanted to experiment with it. And like but yeah, I say it was a 50-50 though, but my morals were the best thing I got out of my childhood and my environment was my morals, because it showed me how to be an independent, strong person.
Okay. I definitely like how you have said that you had to understand that, you know, he had to do what he felt was right. I think a lot of people don't understand that. You know, they feel like, oh, he's just another product of his environment, but it's like, you know, sometimes you have to go into survival mode, you know what I'm saying? Like, if there you don't have all the resources in your environment like everybody else may have. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel that 100%. And I can relate to you as far as, like, you know, growing up in a single-parent home. Like, I was raised by my mom and everything like that. My question is, like, I know you pretty much elaborated on, you know, having siblings and, you know, having, you know, an older brother who kind of, like, you know, in a sense, gave you like that male figurism and within the household. But did you ever feel like you had to, you know, kind of fend for yourself? Like, was there any situations or any type of experiences that you, in a sense, you know, kind of just went ahead and did on your own type of thing?
2017, I went through a lot of like drama in a sense, and my mom, she moved out of the apartment we all was living in, so she went to a place, and me and my sister, we split up. So it was like I was just couch hopping, and then I had got a Altima, and I used to sleep in that joint. And when I was at that low point, I just figured out, like, and I had a child in 2017 around that time, so couch hopping with a kid and still, like, handling, like, my priorities, even though all this drama is going around me. So when I got to that low point and I figured out, like, who can I call on that I feel like really I can, like, say, yo, has my back. And I had, I really just started praying, like, prayer. Prayer became big in 2017 for me, because I really started to lose hope in myself at a point when I was, like, sleeping in the car and I was just looking, like, how the hell I get here? I was only 21 years old, and I really was thinking to myself, like, how did I get here? And like from there, I looked at my child and I said, if I was able to create like human history and have my own human, what else can I do? And I just gave myself to God, and I told God, like, I'll give everything my all if I can just get out the darkness, and which I did. Like, my mind opened up to new things and let me experience things that I never thought I would see in life in general. So, like, God, to me, when I was sleeping in my car, that had to be, like, the moment in my life that, like, really changed everything.
Yes. That's crazy, man.
That
we never really, like, you know, get a chance to hear, like, you know, like the in-betweens of, like, you know, the slumps that we have from, you know, talking to God and that, like, really submitting ourselves to him, you know what I'm saying? And,
yeah,
and just praying and praying and praying. Because, like, we always see, you know what I'm saying, like, the downfall, you know, all the way up to, you know, the success of, or, you know what I'm saying, like, the positive outcome of what we may be going through, you know what I'm saying? Like, we never get to pretty much tell that story as to, you know, like, the in-betweens of, like, what we had to go through. Like, you know what I'm saying? I commend you for, you know, definitely going through that, because it's like, you know, like you said, like, when you pretty much at your low, it's like, what the hell else am I supposed to do? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
it takes those life-changing, you know, experiences to, you know, turn us around. And, you know, I'm sure you could probably agree with this too, because, like, I got a kid as well, and, like, when I had went through my whole drinking issue, I had a drinking issue, you know what I'm saying, and I had got 2 DUIs and stuff like that, and this was back in 2016, and I have a kid who's 11 years old now. So so between 2016 and up until now, you know what I'm saying, I will find myself looking at her like, you know what I'm saying, like, and I will kind of, like, you know, I wouldn't in a sense knock myself down, but it's just like, at the same time, I just, like, you know, like, you're such a good kid, and it's like, what the hell was I doing with myself to where, like, I wasn't happy, or I wasn't being responsible for myself, you know what I'm saying, in order for me to be perfect for you, you know what I'm saying? Because we always say we can't be perfect, but damn it, like, when you got kids, you want to be perfect for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, that part.
Like, you know, what I'm saying? Like,
yes. Man, it's crazy reason, because, like, you just, like, really kind of hit close to home for me, because, like, I've had, like, a lot of down moments in my life. You know, like, my environment wasn't the best growing up, but 2017, I was in that spot, like, moving here was not a good transition. I was in a controlling, abusive relationship, and I did a lot of house hopping as well. And you do get to that low point where you ask, well, damn, how did I get to this point? And, you know, I actually had too much pride to ask people for help. You know what I'm saying? Like, God placed people in my life, like, that didn't even know me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm from another state and you're willing to, you know what I'm saying, give me a helping hand. But I had too much pride. But there were times where I had to put that pride to the side, you know what I'm saying, just to ask, hey, do you have a couple dollars for food? You know, I was okay with drinking water, you know what I'm saying, stop the hunger pains. But, you know, a lot of that pride came from when I would ask family for help, they would always have an excuse. Oh, well, you know, I'm doing this, or a lecture would come. And it's like, you don't really want to hear the lecture. So it's like, you know what, fuck it, I'll figure it out myself. So my next question for you is, like, because I know you said earlier that, you know, your environment helped you to have the morals that you have. But did your environment ever affect you in a negative way where, like, you wanted to give up? And what did you do to change it?
I live down 9th and G and Willard. It's like down it's down out of Gainey. I live down there.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people that was getting killed around there, like, literally, like, on a day to day basis. I was living around drug addicts, just everything. And I was bringing my daughter down there, and the block that I lived on, it was crazy. So it was like, somebody, if a bullet fly through this window right now, my child can die. And I just used to think about that every single night. Like, yo, I got to get the hell out of here. I just have to. And I started, I put, like, the finishing touches on the this tape I was making, my first tape, Word Can't Save My Soul. I started, like, really paying attention to, like, the music. And I listen to my tape every day before it's out. And I just started putting the songs together, and then once I, like, really got focused onto the music, that's how, like, everything really started pushing with me. It started, like, beginning 2018, like, right after that whole transition of everything happening, 2018, I really, like, started paying attention to my music.
Okay. So, the outlets.
The area was crazy, so... You know, like the fear of death back then was just like, I didn't want to get killed. I wanted my daughter to see some stuff like that just because
right.
I didn't protect her. That's how I was feeling. So, you know, I can't prevent that stuff now if it happens, but at least I'm not putting her in that type of danger. And there's no knock to the people that's around there, but it's just for my own safety and my own cause and my own life. That's the things that I think
right.
about on a day-to-day basis. So,
yeah. And, you know, it's crazy because it's like, you know, the fact that you had to say, like, no shade to the people that live out there, it's like people look at you different when you move out of those rough environments. And it's like, I don't think I'm better than you. It's just that I can't deal with the PTSD no more. Like, to, you know,
yeah.
like to imagine someone dying every day and then you wondering, okay, well, what's going to happen next? You know what I'm saying? And then you have a daughter on top of that. And, you know, like just having her see that, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, the world looks so crazy to kids at that age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I feel that. Yeah, and I mean, and that's something that, you know, that always kind of bothers me is when, you know, people criticize you for, you know, wanting to get out the slums or, you know, wanting to get out of rough environments and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? They deem you to be soft, and it's like, that's not the case, you know what I'm saying? Like, most people don't find it, you know, attractive to be falling asleep and waking up to gunshots or, you know what I'm saying, smelling,
right.
the, you know, the gun smoke in the air in the morning. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that don't make you soft. That just makes you, you know what I'm saying? That's just you just trying to find an inner peace within yourself. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're responsible
yeah.
for another human being. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And reasons when you were saying about, you know, your music and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Just going through the things you were going through that have you turn, you know, more towards your music or whatnot, you know what I'm saying? That was kind of the same thing that happened with me too, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
honestly, if I had to change things, as much as I would say I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
it's the same, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
yeah.
that situation wouldn't, you know, take me towards, like, you know, my clothing brand or whatever, or, you know what I'm saying? Whatever,
yeah.
you know, whatever I
yeah.
may have, you know, have thoughts of doing, you know what I'm saying? Because if you stay in your comfort zone, you know what I'm saying? There's no chance of you progressing at anything because you're comfortable, you're stable. You know what I'm saying? You gotta
mm-hmm.
be uncomfortable to be able to move around differently, and you gotta be accepting of that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That was kind of my next question too. Yeah, that was kind of my next question. Like, do you think that the things that we go through in life and our environment around us, is that what it, you know, like, we don't understand it when we're in the moment, you know what I'm saying? We're just like, why?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, looking back, a lot of that stuff helped us, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I didn't have the bed bugs back when, like, you know, I lived in high school, when I was in high school, and I remember I used to have to put 3 chairs together just to go to sleep in because they were biting me up in the bed. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And dumb days where, like, we had to hand wash our clothes in the tub, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just
mm-hmm.
learned. A lot of those survival instincts I brought with me when I moved to Philly, and it's like they came into, you know what I'm saying, like they came into place, and it's like you said, you have all these priorities, you know what I'm saying, that you're keeping up with, but it's just so much drama, and you look so tired, you know what I'm saying, having to sleep in your car and everything. But, yeah, you guys
mm-hmm.
answered that. You have another question?
This one kind of goes back into the person, the physical appearance thing, because the reasons I know you were saying that, you know, because you had kind of stood out within your family, you know what I'm saying, that kind of it was kind of troublesome, if I'm not mistaken, that you said that. What was it like, you know, kind of, you know, with your physical appearance, you know, within your environment as far as, like, you know, maybe school or, you know, friendships, relationships, et cetera?
I could say it had a, I viewed it as a good thing. I really did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people will come in and they'll joke. I used to be called Cisco a lot by one guy. He used to call me Cisco, and he used to laugh about it. And, like, I used to just let it go because, to me, I understood why he said it, but it was like
mm-hmm.
I really didn't understand it, too, at the same time. So that was, like, I looked at that, and that's how, like, I control bullying with, like, my emotion, because I just
mm-hmm.
sometimes you just got to really listen to people's ignorance to not get mad at it. So,
mm-hmm.
that was one thing that taught me. Another thing was I heard the term, like, you the milkman's baby, and, you know, like, just weird things because I look different from everybody. But it's like,
right.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get mad at the people because I understood my environment. You know, it's like being I guess being the kid that looked like me and around everybody that just got black hair. It's like you're going to be ignorant to it because you never seen it before. And if I didn't understand that, I couldn't be – if I didn't understand that young, I would have got mad at every time somebody talked to and said, yo, are you half white because you got red hair? Are you – you know, that's not your brother and sister because you look like this. And it's like, yo, you just probably never seen a person that was black with red hair. And, you know, it just was that. So the people that I did make friends with, they embraced it. The girls liked it, cool with me, because I didn't look like everybody. So I had my own person of who I wanted to be in my own family. Because
right,
everybody might look the same, but I'm the person that stands out, and that's what I appreciated the most.
Mm.
So it had its moments where I just learned.
No, I'm sorry. I just want to ask you a quick question, because that was powerful. You know, the fact that you said that I didn't get mad because they were, you know, they were ignorant to it because they'd never seen it before. Did someone have to teach you, like, did someone have to teach you how to respond in that way, or did it just come naturally?
It came natural because of anger problems. Like, one thing I learned, I went to therapy, and 2018 really saved my life. I went to therapy in 2018. My therapist, Ms. Kim, she just told me, like, what do you do in situations? Instead of blaming people, look at what you do in the situation. So from that moment, I understood my anger growing, like now. But, like, back then, I just literally paid attention to my family because if I knew everybody in my family, people that said sometimes hurtful things that they just did it jokingly, you know, will say something jokingly, but you don't. The person that's getting, like, joked on, they take it personal, but, you know, you're going to laugh at it anyway just to not show, let people see your emotions. So I just started being mindful of the words, and I decreased the value of the words. And just made it to what I wanted to make it to be. And it's just sometimes I'll shoot it back at a person in my head, and I'll just laugh at it like, aha, this person insecure with themselves because they look like this. And they just
do
that. And I'll just keep it pushing to myself. Like I said, it's like sometimes you just got to know where people ignorance lay at. They lie at themselves. So it's like, it's cool. If somebody call you fat, it's like, okay, well, this person's hurt today. Just walk away from it.
Yo, that's the best response. This person's bad today. Man, so, DC, I'm going to give Reason, I'm going to pass the crown down to him, you know what I'm saying, to be the host, because he teaching me some shit. Like, I was always the person that took stuff personal.
That's right. Like, you know what I'm saying, because, and the reason why I brought the question up is because, you know what I'm saying, like when you said it from the jump, Reason, I was like, okay, you know what I'm saying, I can relate to that as well. Because, you know, I had that same, you know, situation in school, you know what I'm saying, where it was like I was pretty much the same, but, you know what I'm saying, like I just had, like, you know, I had a slight difference in, you know, my chin or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So everybody, you know, talked about my chin. And it was like, because I wasn't built to take the criticism, you know what I'm saying, especially the way you laid it out, you know what I'm saying, I helped degrade myself as a person along with them, you know what I'm saying, instead of, like, building myself up, you know what I'm saying, and, or, you know, like I said, you know, put it in perspective like you did, you know what I'm saying, that's like the first time I've ever heard it that way, you know what I'm saying, like, that's some good shit. That's some good shit.
Yeah. Man,
so
not
like
to take things personal.
What was, like, the upbringing for yourself, Lance?
You said what was, like, the upbringing for me?
For Lance.
For me, Complex Angel?
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, my upbringing, I was teased about, like, I was overdeveloped. Like, I was in a training bra by 7. So, you know, by 12 years old, I looked like I was 15, and guys used to always tease me and bully me about that. Like, I hated going down the hallway because I knew that I was going to, you know, somebody was going to stop and say something. Like, I just always wanted to be to myself, but it's like I was very different, and I stood out, and it's like I didn't want that. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, I just want to go one day where I'm invisible. But I don't know. It's crazy. Like, I didn't have that mindset that you had, that, you know, people are just, you know, ignorant to it. Cause, I mean, come on now, boys, hormones and everything like that, of course. But it's just like I took it so personal. Like, why is everybody picking on me? Like, and I would laugh, but my laugh, it wasn't a genuine laugh. They could tell that I was uncomfortable, and it gave them the green light to go even harder, you know. Plus, also, like I said, living in Detroit and then moving to Southfield, my grandmother, she, you know what I'm saying, she didn't like to spend her money. She liked to really value it because she knew what struggle was. So we shopped at the thrift store. You know, we didn't have a lot of name brand stuff, and we got bullied for that. And it's like I used to get frustrated with her, like, well, damn, like, why can't you just buy me this? Like, why are you making it so hard? Like, I was never confident in myself. It took for me to become 28 before I became really confident in myself. So I kind of look up to you, and I'm older than you. It's crazy.
I appreciate it. DJ, how about you?
I mean, shit, for me, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I grew up in a, you know, a single-parent home, you know what I'm saying? I was the only child, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't necessarily have the male figure, the proper male figure, so to speak, you know what I'm saying, in my household, to where, like, you know, I could build up that strength, you know what I'm saying? So the toughness that I have today was basically, you know, implemented by me and me only. You know what I'm saying, with the struggles that I had to go through, you know, like I said, as far as with the criticism of my physical appearance or pretty much getting into fights and shit like that, you know what I'm saying, throughout my childhood and everything like that. Because, you know, when you stay in the hood, you know what I'm saying, there's always going to be some neighborhood fights with the kids and everything, you know what I'm saying? So it was like that almost every other day, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that's kind of like where I got my toughness from that. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, besides physical appearance and then, like, you know, like Complex had touched on, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, with the materialistic shit. Like, because I went to Southfield Public Schools as well. I stayed in Detroit, and I had converted over to Southfield Public Schools only for the simple fact that the school that I had went to in Detroit, like, a kid came to the school with a knife and stabbed somebody. So my mom was like, yeah, we about to get your black ass about that. You know what I'm saying? She was like, you know what I'm saying, it's time to go. But,
yes.
But, yeah, so, I mean, I can honestly say, like, you know, from going from, you know what I'm saying, Detroit public schools, or I should say, like, rough in public schools to more of, like, privileged public schools. So don't get me wrong. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, Southfield at that time was more of a suburb-like area, you know, like a suburb-like city. And Detroit was just, you know what I'm saying, like Call of Duty type of shit. You know what I'm saying? So you'll have, you know, kids from Detroit come to, you know, Southfield, you know what I'm saying, just to get a better schooling. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, like, it wasn't all just, you know, suburb kids, but...
Right.
But yeah, like the suburb kids, they had upper hands on certain niggas who wasn't financially privileged to be able to have those materialistic things that they have. You know what I'm saying? Because some of them already had cars, they just couldn't drive the motherfuckers yet because they didn't have permits. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it was the smallest things, like, you know, because we had dress codes. You know what I'm saying? It was khakis and polo. You know what I'm saying? And if you didn't have like the most top of the shelf fucking polo or the top of the shelf khakis, which was Dickies at the time, you know what I'm saying, you were either broke or you were just lame. You know what I'm saying? So when it came to when it came to kids like myself who really couldn't get that stuff, you know what I'm saying, we would come try hard, you know what I'm saying, whether it was, you know, working for your money or, you know what I'm saying, pressing your parents on, you know, actually getting the shit so you can actually have a good day at school that day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For the rest of the week. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I mean, other than that, yeah, that's the story of being a kid.
Even though, I think, like, it did help us, like, because we didn't have as much as those privileged kids did, it did make you want to get a job at 16. Like, you know, like, yep, I'm about to work my way to, you know what I'm saying, keep up with them. But
yeah.
My last question for you, Reason, is what words can you give to the listeners? Like, with someone out there who is struggling and who is only seeing the downside of their environment, what can you tell them tonight?
Don't ever stop believing in God, referral, first and foremost. Because if you give up and believe in God, you won't stop believing in yourself. So that's one thing I can't ever stop doing. Because like I said, when I needed God the most, God came through for me. When I needed, my child came at the perfect time for me in 2017 because I needed her in order to continue my prophecy. So I just tell people, do not believe, like, stop believing in God, because that's the only way you will continue to live.
Yes, that part. I'm telling you.
It's crazy.
It's been a crazy year.
Yeah, I said that same thing, and like, if it wasn't for my kid, man, I don't know what type of individual I would be. I would hope that I would be the person that I am today, but it wouldn't have happened as soon as it did.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That part?
That's for sure.
Okay. Well, we can segue off of that one into Let Your Light Shine moment. All right. This is your segment, Mr. Reason. So my first question for you is, what part of self-love has been challenging for you so far?
All right. Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I was saying, what part of self-love has been challenging for you so far?
So, I'll say me performing and making music. I'll be confident. I'm like super confident in my music, but I just don't want to be, you know, the person that get the big head. So sometimes I'll mellow myself out when I'm like super confident at times, because I don't know if that's like a huge problem at this moment, because at times I can be shy. Like, I was nervous as hell before this podcast. Like, I was very nervous.
You're doing good, though. The listeners
so
love you. They text them like this.
Thank you. I was nervous because, like I said, like, I appreciate you guys, like, just wanting to speak to me as a person and not saying, yo, let's talk about your music and do this. Like, it's genuine, and that's why I appreciate it. And I could be honest and complete, like, feel the vibe with you guys. And, like, it's learning how to adapt to embracing who Reason is and then bring that element to my regular self to that and continue to show people that I'm not just, like, some rapper guy from Philadelphia. Like, I am a human that go through problems, and listening to me or the people that surround me, that we all can, like, do things. So, I really.
You were saying?
I was about to say, I really, like, appreciate this moment that I'm able, like, to really speak about myself and get people, like, to know who I am. And I like to ask the same thing for you guys, both of you guys. Do you see how do you deal with it?
Well, we at this segment is actually for you because of time.
Oh,
if we
I'm
would
sorry,
love
I'm sorry,
to,
sorry,
no, you
I'm
fine.
Sorry.
Hey, no, you fine. I love it. I love the energy. It's just that we give this to our guests because you guys come on and rip band-aids off. We answer these questions all the time, but no, this is your time to
Got
shine. So my next question is, what are some self-love tips you do for yourself?
You said things I picture for myself.
No, like, what are some self-love tips? Like, what are some things that you do to make you happy?
I make sure that I listen to my girlfriend a lot. I make sure I listen to my child, especially especially my child first and foremost. And make sure every morning when I wake up, I pray. Like I said, I don't ever want to forget why I got this far or who helped me get this far. So, but my child is a person that I learned, like, I learned to listen to because, you know, she's two. So she still, like, right. talks like a baby, but at the same time, she, like, she speaks. So I just really listen to her clearly to understand her. So, you know, it builds patience for myself. It builds love for myself. It builds times where I just feel like I'm feeling down, but her joy can come to me and just reach my spirit. So I just learned, I learned through my daughter a lot to just, that's a big thing on self-care and is making sure my daughter is okay.
So, love it. Yes. Okay, and one last question. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you and your music?
They can reach me at social media. Instagram is at _ReasonCanRap. They can also visit ReasonCanRap.com. YouTube, ReasonCanRap. Everything ReasonCanRap. And also SoundCloud and Apple Music, ReasonCanRap. And they can find my latest tape. And I will be performing on the 19th of this month for the crowd run for Newport to News. So people be on the lookout for that.
Yes, support. I saw him performing last year. I think it was last year for the Gemini Fest. That is where I met him, and I was
May.
Like, he is going places. Yep, last May, man, that was a dope event. Okay, all right. Well, let's segue into shout outs and appreciations. Reason, is there anybody that you want to shout out or show appreciation to?
Thank you, God, first and foremost. Good shout out to you guys for inviting me on to your show today. I really appreciate it. Love and blessings to you. Give a shout out to my mom, sister, my brother who's in jail right now. And long live J-Rock. And thank you guys again. I appreciate it.
No problem. All right. DC, what you got?
Well, first and foremost, you know I'm Shane. Shout out to Self Love is My Rehab, because without this podcast, it wouldn't have, you know, built me up and gave me the will to be a better person on a regular basis, first and foremost. Shout out to you, Complex, for allowing that to happen, because without you, there would be no DC. And shout out to God, because without him, there would be no Self Love is My Rehab, there would be no Complex Angel, there would be no DC. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. That's my baby. Do not play with it. You understand me? Business is going good. Everybody be patient with me. I am humbly moving at my own pace. You know what I'm saying? I took some time out to reflect on that, and, you know, I don't want to get the mindset of wanting to just, you know, kind of be out here just to be out here. Like, I'm really taking time to, you know, craft this as much as I can possible, because it ain't for the money. This is my life story behind this clothing brand. So everybody be patient with me on it. If you want to stay updated and follow my business page, you can follow it on Instagram at dynamic_culture_apparel. And you can also follow it on Facebook at Dynamic Culture Apparel as well. And, shout out to everybody that has positive vibes and positive energy. And shout out to everybody with negative vibes and energy as well. At the end of the day, we love you still. We just waiting for you to catch up. Mustard.
All right, I want to shout you out, Reason, for coming on. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to do this. You know, you're going places, and just keep staying humble and stay confident. You know what I'm saying? Don't let nobody tell you who you are. No problem. Shout out to God, because without him, I would not have a personal relationship with myself. Shout out to this platform, Self Love is My Rehab. It is teaching me to be a better person in my friendships, in family, and in my relationship. Shout out to No Apologies. It sets a platform for Self Love is My Rehab and Queens with Vibes and Visions. And I can't really shout anybody out for the Stimulate Your Mind question. Nobody answered it last week. They just liked it, but whatever. So with that being said, Reason, are you ready to get your mind stimulated before we get off the phone tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
So the Stimulate Your... All right. Drop it, DC.
All right. Let's stimulate that mind, Karee.
So the stimulate your mind question tonight is there one toxic trait you refuse to change about you, and why? The reason I'm going to let you answer first.
I would say one big toxic thing is lust. Lust is it's a huge factor on me because of my, I can say, even being in a relationship, because of the PTSD I had from the way I show love to girls as I grew up, to where if I got mad, sad, or anything, I would just go have sex. So lust is like a big thing on that I really pray about and try to fix about me, because you would, the nastiest thing is lusting over women, because you wouldn't even take the time out to understand a person and what they go through, because your mind would be set on exactly what you want out of them. So lust is like a big toxin that I really like pray for, that I would love to change about myself.
Okay, is there one that you will refuse to change?
One thing I refuse to change is somebody. Can you explain that one to me? I should say.
Like basically, like, you know, some of our toxic traits we use for survival mode and everything, and we refuse to change it. Like, is there one toxic trait that people feel like, okay, yeah, this is too much, but it's helped you to get to where you're at?
Being myself. If whoever told you that you need to listen to what society made for us, they stupid. They're dumb. So if I come off as arrogant or cocky about my love for myself, man, that's on you. Like, you think that's toxic? I'm gonna be a nasty person at the end of the day. I can't no more. Society did too much PTSD to me, so I changed. That way of thinking.
But no, thank you for being honest about that lust thing. That was a strong one too, though. But thank you.
Yeah, that one was interesting. Yep. That shit had me fix my glasses real quick, because I didn't think that could be a toxic. I mean, I know lust can be a toxic trait, but I mean the way he put it in context, I'm like, huh? I didn't think that would be one that anybody would pick up. But I would say, should a toxic trait for me, complex, you difficult motherfucker. I would say one for me would be a people pleaser. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that would be a trait for me that I would feel is toxic for me. And I say that because, you know, I always try to make myself out to be a good person, you know what I'm saying, in your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I, in a sense, got to be at least top five in this bitch. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I always go into something trying to perfect it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, when it comes to actually, you know, going at it with people, like, you know what I'm saying, whether that's a friend or, you know, a girlfriend or whatnot, you know what I'm saying? Like, I always try to aim to please. Like, you know what I'm saying? I got to be better than the previous, you know what I'm saying? Or, hell, if we do decide to go separate ways, I will be the best you ever fucking had. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's always been the mindset. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like that's something that people can easily pick up on, and they use that to use me. You know what I'm saying? And it always leaves me, you know, feeling like shit. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, I put so much of my effort into something, and it's just like, it's almost like it's not good enough type of thing. Or it just could be for the simple fact that I'm overthinking it and I'm putting too much passion into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can passionately just, like, sharpen your pencil and give it to you. And all you say is thank you. Like, what? Nigga, I got out my classroom desk and I sharpened this pencil. And the crispy-ass Air Force One walked back to your table and gave you a wink, and you just said thank you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I put too much perfection on shit when it comes to, you know, trying to please people. So I would say that will be one that I would change. But at the same time, I wouldn't change it either. Like, that's the twist on it. That's a 50-50 thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, at the end of the day, that is still me regardless. You know what I'm saying? I just have to work out the kinks and shit and just learn who to please and not just please everybody.
Don't part. So mine is 50-50 like y'all's. Mine is, like, I've always been very hard on myself. I'm talking about, like, nope, you got to do this, you got to do that, you know what I'm saying? We're not where we want to be. I don't look back to see how far I come. And I remember I was told that it was toxic because, you know, they was like, you don't even know how to celebrate, you know what I'm saying, the small victories. And I'm like, nah, I'm like, it's gotten me so far, though. Like, if I didn't make the decision to move out of Michigan just, like, on the fly, I'd probably still be there and be miserable. Like, I've always told myself, never get too comfortable if you're not happy with it. And it can be toxic because, like, I beat myself up and I sometimes don't give myself enough credit. Like, you know, to hear people say that this podcast is really changing their life, I'm like, what? Like, it's just like a phone call. Like, because in my mind, I'm such a perfectionist. But I listen back to it, and I'm like, wow, we have come a long way. We started this up in December of last year, and just to see where it's at, you know what I'm saying? But it's like me being so hard on myself, I don't really get to enjoy the victory of it. But I'm going to stop and smell the roses, but I'm not going to change this because it's gotten me to where I'm at, and I love the results. So thank you, too, for answering that question. All right, DC, you're going to close us out with a dynamic quote.
For sure, for sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the closed caption of the show for tonight. Hell of a show. You know, Reason, you my dog. We done put a crown on the temple, pimp. You did your thing, man. So whatever jitters or bubble guts you may have had, my nigga, you good to go. You straight.
I feel blessed. I really do.
Yeah, you straight. So.
I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, for sure. So with that being said, the dynamic quote for tonight is, stop being ashamed of how many times you've fallen and start being proud of how many times you've gotten up. And this hit close to home with just the general for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. No matter what your environment is and how many times you have fallen through the darkest times, be proud and be grateful and thank God every single time you've gotten up from every situation possible. You know what I'm saying? If you're still breathing, that's a blessing to be counted for. And That's just plain and simple as that. So, peace and love. We are out. Be blessed.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. Blessings.